Welcome to The Blaze. This is episode 265. I am your host, Alejandro Oveda. You have now pushed play to another Blazing Week, and I got to tell you what an amazing week we've been having. Here on the podcast, every week, you know, it's all positivity. We continue to give you content each and every week. I just want to remind you, you could find this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, or anywhere you guys get your podcasts. I just want to make sure you guys know this podcast is always recorded on Thursdays, giving you guys weekly content. So make sure you guys are up to date on the pod, and make sure you guys continue to share the pod with someone that hasn't heard of the podcast, or maybe a relative, someone close to you. But this week has been such an amazing week, as we've been grinding each week, you know, with my workouts, been trying just to focus on my mental, just really getting into the groove. As last week, you know, I had some hiccups, but towards the end of the week, I really grinded it out. Haven't missed a workout, you know, or a week of workouts since the beginning of the year, and I continue to challenge myself each and every week. This week, I've been trying to eat a little bit better. One thing for sure is it's been kind of hard without the caffeine to get me throughout my day. You know, I've been feeling kind of, you know, just drowsy right in the middle of the day, but have been trying to drink a little bit more coffee to balance out the need for the caffeine. It's been, it has to be at least, you know, 4 weeks ago that I did give up energy drinks. And it has helped a lot with just how I feel at nighttime. I don't feel as anxious. I don't feel like I can't sleep. So I have been getting good, you know, 7 to 6 hours of sleep. I'm usually like around the 6 to 5 hours of sleep, but usually when I'm drinking, I think when I'm drinking the caffeine and with energy drinks, you know, it's a lot of caffeine in those. I do tend to stay up later in the evening, or in the morning, I should say, in the morning time, you know, 2-3 o'clock in the morning. But lately, I have been falling asleep around maybe 2 o'clock, keep it easy, as, you know, this has been a journey for me without energy drinks. At first, I was kind of, you know, like, I felt like an addict. Like, I had really bad migraines. I was really sensitive to just agitation. But now that I feel like I'm free from these energy drinks, I feel like, you know, I want to find more natural ways of getting it, like a coffee or maybe tea. And that's something that I have been looking into, like different yerba teas. And my wife has really put me on like cold brew coffee, which, you know, I am a big fan of coffee. I just don't like how it makes me feel. But I do smaller doses now of coffee to get me through my day. I need something to pick me up. You know, I'm not a young buck no more, so I definitely need something to get me, get my gears going. You know, I think everybody can attest they have something in their regimen that gets them going in the morning, if it's not like a breakfast or something like that. But I try not to, you know, eat as soon as I wake up. I try to, you know, I would say fast, but it has been hard, you know. Like not eating in the evening after I get off work, that's been the toughest. And we do it by baby steps, you know. Me and my wife, we have started really implementing that we're bringing our own lunch to work, and that has been helping out a lot. You know, not eating fast food so much, because that stuff doesn't really fill you up, you know. So we try to make it wholesome meals throughout the week to take to work, and then on the weekend we kind of just cook at home. Like, literally, we've been cooking all of our meals at home, trying to just make sure that we're being conscious of what we're doing. But this has been a great week, you know, just continuing to grind out for the pod. We have a lot to talk about this week, as, like I said last week, we got a lot of festival seasons here. So we have, you know, a lot to talk about, as the Valley, as the Central Valley, is packed with not only events, but also sports. So make sure you guys stick around to the Blaze Podcast as we give you more content this week. So this week, I want to continue talking about the local festival, Fres Yes Fest, that is going to be downtown this weekend, March 23rd. And it's going to be from 1 p.m. to 11 p.m. And this is going to be a great, great time. Here in the Central Valley, if you're a part of the Central Valley, if you're part of the Fresno area, Fresno County, this is a great place to go for the weekend if you're into the local scene. Fres Yes Fest, like I said, is one of downtown's biggest parties of the year. Of course, there's a lot of things that go down downtown, but Fres Yes Fest is something that I love and a lot of the local people love to attend. Like I said, March 23rd, you can find different food trucks, live music from great, great artists. And there are going to be different stages throughout of the area of downtown. There's going to be a lot of different, drinks and things you could purchase there at the brewery. But this is put on by Tioga Sequoia. And I just love knowing that, we get to show off the heart of California, We have such a great, great community that is so diverse. And we know we got to continue to keep pride in our area. But it's easy to see, why this block party is such a great, great thing, because it brings so many people together. And it offers everybody something to do outside, as well as just supporting the local businesses and seeing, that food, entertainment, if you want to say beer and alcohol or whatever, it makes it a unique experience, not only for the consumer, but also just the people that are putting on this kind of event. They must get a really big rush from having so many people in one spot, especially in Fresno, where usually when you get a lot of people together like this, there's fights, there's this and that. But usually at Fres Yes Fest, it's really, really nice. I have not been there and seen a fight. I have seen a little bit people go a little overboard on the drinking, but that's going to happen. But whether, your friends, family, you're from here or you're from, anywhere else, this is a great weekend to be here in Fresno to take part in this great, great festival. Like I said, it's going to be this weekend on March 23rd. I know I looked at the weather reports this week, and it says it's going to be raining on Saturday, but on Saturday they said it's only going to be a early rain, and then it's going to clear up towards the evening. So it may rain during the day, but at the same time, once it rains, it clears out, and then it starts becoming so beautiful here in our city, in our Central Valley. And I just want you guys to be aware that this event is going on, because it is one of Fresno's main events throughout the year. And I just want to continue to really support it. As this Blaze Podcast is a lot of like Fres Yes Fest in a lot of ways. So I just want to continue to show you guys what we got going on here in the Valley and also in my town of Fresno, California. So make sure you guys check out Fres Yes Fest this weekend. Like I said, it's going to be March 23rd. 2024. It's going to be in downtown Fresno. Mostly, I think mostly it's going to be right there by Tioga Sequoia in the brewery district. But it is a great place to go. Make that your centerpiece, and then go to the outskirts, and see what else Fres Yes has to offer. But this is such a great event that I don't want you guys to miss. So make sure you guys check it out. I know parking is always going to be an issue, as they will be shutting down that Fulton Street. So there are parking garages nearby, and also you'll probably be able to park on the outskirts, but I really would suggest you guys just parking in the parking garage. Just pay the $5. You know, it's only, I would only have to say it's only like a block away from Tioga Sequoia, so it's really not too far, but I suggest not parking on the street, just knowing that, you know, you're going to be parking a little bit further away. So make sure you guys get there early if you guys are looking to see some different sets. I know you can go online right now. They got the set list. And let me just pull that up real quick. So there's going to be tons and tons of live music, like I said. Music from The Box, Banda Sinaloniza, Piura Cajeta, John Clifton, Blues Band, One Hot Minute, Tower Rats, Siba, Brian Cade, Belmont Sound System, Carlos Montano Band, 1335, Mekanondo, Unlikely, From Flowers to Flies, and Sydney, with a lot of other special guests. And I know they're going to have like a DJ set somewhere in the Grizzlies Stadium. But this is going to be, like I said, it's going to be fun. It's going to be packed. So make sure you guys are wearing, you know, something comfortable. Don't go out there going uncomfortable. But make sure you guys do check out this festival, as it is one of Fresno's best and biggest. So make sure you check it out, and hopefully I'll see you guys out there. And this week I was able to listen to a lot of different music. You know, but I really was anticipating this new album from Schoolboy Q called Blue Lips, which is his sixth album, and he dropped it, I think, earlier this month in March, so I kind of got a late listen to it, but he did drop this album through his record label Top Dog Entertainment, and it actually is distributed through Interscope, so he has some kind of label deal, but this marks his first solo album since his release in 5 years, and that's since 2019's Crash Talk. And this album was something that I really gravitated towards this week, as I was really looking for something to pump me up, really put me in the zone, especially for my workouts and also just being chilling and throughout the week. But I felt like a lot of people haven't been really gravitating towards this album. I feel like, you know, there was a great promotion to it, but I felt like he released, you know, this sort of trailer that plays this kind of weird atmospheric beat of the title of Blue Lips. It included, you know, a 37 second track list, and it projected on like a studio wall or whatnot. But it was revealed that, you know, he was going to preview this album every Tuesday and Thursday leading up to the album. So I know he released, you know, music videos for Blue Slides, which is kind of like a dedication to Mac Miller, which, you know, this album was, when he was talking about making music, you know, it was really hard for him to continue making music once Mac Miller, you know, died over his accident of overdosing. Knowing that, you know, he had the tough time, some of these songs, really, you could feel it, you could hear it, you could just know that he was going through a lot. But he did do a good job by really projecting this album and really letting people know, like, I'm back, I'm ready to work and get things going. Especially with this album, I felt like, you know, it was that old Schoolboy that you love, that you miss. And, you know, I've been a Schoolboy Q fan since back in 2012 when he first started with Top Dog Entertainment. And that was, you know, there was a lot, I felt like, to his career that, you know, kind of went on a hiatus, like I said, in 2019 after Mac Miller's accident, and really putting in perception what his thoughts were of his life at the time, you know, and you really get to hear his vulnerability in this album, which I really like, because, you know, as a rapper, you kind of have to have a persona, and I feel like you know, in this one, Blue Lips with Schoolboy Q, he really puts it in perspective that he is a dad. He's a, you know, he's a friend. He's a brother. You know, he has to play all these roles, and it's really hard to have this kind of, I don't know, this kind of other character that you have to always personify, you know. So he really goes into his bag. He really takes you on an experience that perhaps really birthed some of his best music, I feel like. And I think a lot of his label mates also took a part of this album, which, you know, I'm not going to say Kendrick didn't have anything to do with this, but you could really feel his presence on the album, but also not being on the album kind of makes you feel like, man, Schoolboy Q is really in his own zone right now. So he's on a different direction, and really with the depth that he has in his album is really setting something apart from what he's already made. Like Crash Talk and Blue Lips is so much different, and I love the growth that he's made so far, especially, you know, taking the time off, trying to get off drugs, trying to, you know, get his life together and make sure that, you know, he's able to continue his life for his daughter, for himself and his family. But I just felt like, you know, when you compare the music, you always got to listen to it as if, you know, you think that Kendrick Lamar has some kind of doing on this Top Dog Entertainment, but, you know, Kendrick is no longer Top Dog Entertainment. He's actually on his own with PG Lang, his own label. So this was, I felt like this was greatness in a bottle. And I think that once you open it and you embrace it, you see that he is pushing his boundaries. He's taking risks and really trying to give you a little bit more edge, you know. So if you're looking for something good to listen to, make sure you check this this album out. There's so many good songs on it that, you know, I could list all of them, but I'll just give you like a few that I like. I like Pop, Blue Slides, and Lovebirds. So if you're looking for a great album to listen to this weekend, and you were just excited for me as a Schoolboy Q fan and looking for his new album, make sure you check this one out. You won't regret it. It's all on Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your music. And let me know what you guys are listening to this week. And this week, I was able to watch a lot of different shows, a lot of different things. You know, one thing for sure I've been watching a lot of has been car pursuits, you know, on YouTube, which me and my wife, somehow, some way, at the end of the night, we're always watching car chases. They're so exciting. But this week, I really want to talk about another show on Netflix that has been really taking everybody by storm. And it's called Dinner Time Live with David Chang on Netflix. And this is going to be a cooking show. That is like a live cooking show. And if you're a fan of Netflix, if you're a fan of what they have been doing lately, and they're trying to get into, you know, live TV and maybe taking baby steps towards it, but using different avenues to do that. And I felt like they used a great, great chef in David Chang. And he has been on, I would say, a come up. You know, he's known for his food, but also I feel like I love his style of his takes on food, which to me is why I, you know, watch this show. But if you are like a fan of any cooking show, this is something that you have to take a look at. You know, I'm not a chef, you know, but something that entertains me and also has like a podcast kind of vibe to it, you know, where he is the host, but he is cooking for his guests along with, you know, telling his stories, giving out recipes, just telling his history. But one thing for sure is I love this type of content. You know, it's different, it's new, it's exciting. It gets you involved as well to know what he's talking about through his menu, and he'll explain things and why he's cooking things for his guests. But I feel like this is something that Netflix is going to be able to really take to the next level. And if you're, like I said, if you're a cooking show fan like Emeril or anything like that, this is something that you should take a look at, because, you know, Netflix is definitely changing the food culture. I feel like they have a lot of different cooking shows on Netflix that, you know, we've watched. But this has to be one of the best ones so far. So I'm definitely glad, you know, they took a chance on David Chang, as, you know, he has a great personality. And if you don't know much about him, he is the founder of Momofuku Restaurant Group. And in 2009, Momofuku Co. was awarded 2 Michelin stars with the restaurant he has retained each year since. In 2011, he co-founded the influential food magazine Lucky Peach, which lasted for 25 quarterly volumes into 2017. In 2018, he produced and starred in a Netflix original series called Ugly Delicious. And you can definitely check that one out on Netflix right now. And this was through his media group, which he produced and starred in more television and podcasts. And then in 2020, he became the first celebrity to win $1 million top prize for his charity with the Southern Smoke Foundation, and the 14th overall $1 million winner of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. So he has been doing a lot of things other than cooking, but one for sure is he's known for his Momofuku cooking, like his cooking group or his restaurant group, which he does a noodle bar, he has a milk bar, he has so many different things going on. So this is why I like they took a chance on him, as, you know, he is an up-and-comer, but he's also been kind of doing it for a while now. So if you're looking for something to find maybe some inspiration on some new meals, if you're looking for some new recipes, or if you're looking for something like me to really find new creative ways to create content, this is a great thing to watch. And I know they do the live broadcast every week on Tuesdays at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And they'll be having, I know they started in February, the late February, and they'll be having about 16 episodes. I think they're on their 6th episode right now. We just watched. But like I said, it's filled with just cooking methods that he uses, styles that he uses. He kind of puts together different plates to create different you know, flavors. Especially, I think the last one he did, like some jerk chicken, in fried rice. You know, it looked delicious, but he did it so he could pay homage to someone that was from Jamaica and someone else that, you know, eats that cuisine. So it was a great show, and I'm going to continue to watch it. I just want to give you guys a little bit of it to maybe look out for it, or if you're looking for something good to watch, definitely check it out. And let me know what you guys are watching this week. And this week, I just want to say congratulations to Fresh Yard Records. You know, these are some local guys that have been making some noise in the hip-hop realm. And it's, you know, two off top right now is Fashawn and T.A. The Handful. But they also have a label mates, Mitchie Slick, Sir Veterano, Fly Styles, and Planet Asia, and so much more. You know, they have so many great artists on this record label. But they ended up being able to do the world famous Wake Up Show Anthem for 2024. So this is a great, great chance for, you know, some local artists like Fashawn and T.A. The Handful to take part of one of hip hop's, you know, greatest hip hop shows, the world famous Wake Up Show. And this is going to be on Shade 4-5. So if you guys are looking for anything to kind of listen to or anything to, you know, that you're looking to kind of get content, you know, this is a great show to watch. But like I said, you know, the Fresh Yard roster is Fishon, Mitchie Slick, Ron Kidd, Original Grizzly. There's so many good artists on this label that I was so shocked with that they were able to make this song for the Wake Up Show. And I just think it's great to continue to see, you know, Fesh and TA the Handful keep growing, keep moving and doing things on a bigger level that I've seen so far, you know. And TA the Handful, you know, has been pushing himself and creating his own legacy right now. Like, he's doing it, and I love to see it. And these guys are trailblazers for Fresno, for the Central Valley, and they're showing that you could really put together, you know, some great art if you really put your mind and your heart into it. So I just want to say congratulations to Fresh Yard Records for their 2024 anthem, and I just can't wait to see what people are saying about it. So make sure you guys check it out. Make sure you guys check out Fashawn. Make sure you check out TA the Handful. I know there's going to be a lot of other times to check them out performing here in the Central Valley, and I'll continue to support those guys. So make sure you guys tune in every time for more on local art. And this week I would like to talk about how 200,000 fentanyl pills were found during a traffic stop in Fresno County. You know, and this is a crazy thing, as, you know, fentanyl is a terrible thing right now in California, and not only in California, but the whole entire United States. But a man was arrested after deputies say they found 50 pounds of fentanyl pills in Fresno County, and it happened actually during a traffic stop on Tuesday near Kalinga. The Fresno County Sheriff's Office says deputies found 25-year-old Miguel Romero Reyes moving the drugs. He had about 200,000 fentanyl pills worth $600,000. Reyes is from Seattle. He was booked in Fresno County Jail with a bail of $200,000. And deputies are definitely warning the community to be mindful of fake pills that only look like medicines that is given by doctors. So fentanyl has been plaguing our streets for a long time now. If you don't know what fentanyl is, it is a potent synthetic opioid drug which is approved by Food and Drug Administration for use as an analgesic, pain relief, and anesthetic. You know, it's approximately 100 times more potent than morphine and 50 times more potent than heroin as an analgesic. And if you don't know any of the street titles, you know, it's called China Girl, Chinatown, Heat Pot, Jackpot, Poison, Tango. They got so many different names for it. It's kind of weird. But it's consumed by snorting, smoking, taking it orally by pill or tablet. People could, you know, spike it into like paper or patches. It could be sold through heroin or any kind of drug substance. It's usually identified as like fake pills, kind of mimicking pharmaceuticals. And if you know, it's like almost like oxycodone. They kind of make it look like that. There's a lot of effects that go into it. You know, a lot of relaxation, euphoria, pain relief, sedation, confusion, depression. There's a lot of things that go into this. But the horrible thing is the overdose. You know, you could really, really overdose on a small amount of it. And the overdose can cause, you know, changes in pupil size, cause clammy skin, could put you in a coma, and could could cause to have respiratory failure. So I just wanted to just talk about, you know, just the harmful stuff about fentanyl. And, you know, it has been, like I said, plaguing our streets in California. And I just hope, you know, more cops or and more officers really find this drug and really try to spearhead it, you know, as a lot of reforms, a lot of, you know, national press have been talking about just the despair that, you know, fentanyl has put onto, you know, our society. So I just wanted to just talk about, you know, 200,000 fentanyl pills. That's a lot. So it's big news to know that 200, you know, fake pills are off the market, off the streets. And, you know, only 200,000, that's nothing compared to how much more is out there. You know, that's what's so scary about this drug is a little bit goes a long way, and it really could take someone out. Someone like even the size of me, just like 0.2 of a gram or something like that will definitely do damage. I just hate to see, you know, our streets plagued with this drug. You know, before we used to only worry about like heroin and ecstasy and, you know, crack and stuff, but this fentanyl is a whole nother animal, you know, something that it intrigues me, you know, to see and to hear about these stories that people, you know, are taking this drug and are addicted to it. It's highly addicting. So I just want to let you know, they did get 200,000 pills off the street as they did make an arrest near Kalinga. So let me know, you know, what if you guys had any stories with fentanyl. If, you know, I know a lot of people have been, you know, passing away from fentanyl. The stories are endless, I think. And I just want to be able to be an advocate to say, you know, no to fentanyl and be someone like at least telling people about it to be make sure, you know, the things that you are taking are not laced with fentanyl. So make sure you guys are being safe out there. Make sure you guys know exactly what you're taking. Now let's talk about some local sports, and let's start off with our 2024 Fresno State baseball season. As we are right in the middle of it now, we are in a record of 14-6 as overall record, and we have a Mountain West Conference of 4-2. And last week, we had a three-game series against San Jose State. And in the first game, we won 9-6. The second game, we lost 2-4. And then the third game, we won 6-2. Then the Dogs ended up having a game at Pete Biden Field, and they ended up losing to LMU 8-12. And the Dogs will have a three-game series this weekend at Pete Biden Field at Bob Bennett Stadium. And their three-game series will start on Friday, March 22nd against Air Force. And that will be at 6:05 p.m. Then they'll have their second game March 23rd on Saturday at 3:05 p.m. And then on March 24th, they'll have their third game, and that will be on Sunday at 1:05 p.m. Then the Dogs will be on the road on Tuesday, March 26th to take on USC. So that's going to be a big game for the Fresno State Bulldogs. So make sure you guys tune in each week as we continue the 2024 Fresno State baseball season. Now let's talk about our 2024 Fresno State softball team, as they have a 19-8 record with a 1-2 record in their Mountain West Conference. And this week, or last week, they had a three-game series against Nevada on the road, and they ended up losing their first game 6-14. Then their second game they had on Saturday, March 16th, and they ended up losing 4-10. And then their third game they had on March 17th, St. Patrick's Day, and that was on Sunday, and they ended up winning 7-4. And then the Dogs ended up having a home game later on in the week on Wednesday versus Pacific, right at Margie Wright Field or Diamond, and they ended up winning 3-2. And the Dogs will be having a three-game series here in town, and that will be March 22nd through March 24th for a three-game series against San Diego State. So make sure you guys check that out. And then they'll be having a game on the road against UC Santa Barbara on March 27th. So there's a lot of time to go ahead and check out the Fresno State softball team this weekend as they play San Diego State. So make sure you guys tune in to the Blaze Podcast for more on your Fresno State softball team. Now let's talk about our Fresno State basketball team as they end their 2024 season with an overall record of 12-21 and a conference record of 4-14. And the Dogs ended up beating the number 8 seed in the Mountain West Basketball Championships. They beat Wyoming 77-73. Then they had the next round, they ended up having to go against the number 1 seed Utah State, which they ended up losing 75-87. But they ended up eventually losing to the Mountain West champions Utah State as they enter, you know, the NCAA champion or tournament this coming week. But the Dogs are also in the news right now as they are looking for a head coach. There has been talks about what the Dogs want to do and what they're looking for, as there has already been a launch for the head coaching position. And this is going to be, you know, a tough pick for us, as, you know, throughout the years we have been kind of not on the winning end of the Mountain West. We kind of been the joking part of the Mountain West in basketball. And, you know, it's kind of intriguing to see what kind of candidates we will be having, as Fresno State is looking for someone with experience overseeing, you know, academics, but also demonstrating a great coaching ability, especially in the Division I program. The new coach must also be able to be effectively communicate with the media. He must be able to fundraise. And Fresno State is requiring candidates to be able to generate philanthropic funds to support the program. And while it's not really a requirement, the job for head coach states that the university prefers a candidate to have previous head coaching experience. And Fresno State can offer a salary up to $49,000 per month, which comes up to almost $500,000, maybe a little bit more, about $595,000 annually. So this is a great, you know, chance for us to get a good coach, as, you know, we've in the past, you know, we've had good coaches, but just hasn't seen any success. But our last coach, Hudson, had a base salary of $550,000 in his final year after starting at $500,000 when he was hired in 2018. And then we had former head coach Rodney Terry, who made $600,000 in his final year at Fresno State. And Fresno State's compensation package does not match up to the top schools in the Mountain West, especially as you have coaches from San Diego State that pays their coach over $2.3 million, while Nevada pays their coach over $1 million, and Utah State, who almost lost to the Dogs last week, makes over $900,000. So we're going to be waiting to see what kind of candidate we could get. I was hoping that we could maybe get some local, you know, coaches or a coach from the city. That way we could start blossoming our local talent. We have a lot to offer here in the Central Valley, and I just hope, you know, we continue to move in the forward progression, as, you know, Fresno State basketball has such great history, but literally we've been losing the last few years, so not very many people have been paying attention to it. So I just want to let you guys know we are looking for a head coach, and once that happens, you will hear the news here on the Blaze Podcast. Now let's talk about our Fresno State women's basketball as they conclude their 2024 season. But they had their first game in the Mountain West Championship tournament. They ended up beating Air Force 62-44 as Mia Jacobs ended up scoring 25 points and grabbing 8 rebounds. Then the Dogs ended up going into the quarterfinals to go against UNLV, who UNLV beat the Dogs 83-35. But the Dogs were led by Mia Jacobs again, who had 7 points and grabbed 4 rebounds. And they ended up losing in the quarterfinals to the champions UNLV, who won the Mountain West Championship. So the Dogs did not do too bad this year, as, you know, their record doesn't reflect how well they did in the Mountain West Championship tournament. And now that, you know, this is over, UNLV will now go into the NCAA Women's March Madness Tournament. It's going to be a great time for college basketball. But now we conclude the 2024 Fresno State women's basketball season. So make sure you guys tune in to the Blaze Podcast for more on your Fresno State women's basketball. Now let's talk about our Central Valley Fuego, as soccer is now in session. And they are now two games in to the 2024 season. They are currently 1-1. They won their first game against South Georgia Tormenta FC. 2-1. That was on Saturday, March 9th. Then they had their second game against Union Omaha, and that was their first game at home at the Fresno State Soccer Stadium, and they ended up losing to Omaha 2-1. And then they're going to have their third game on March 29th, and they'll be having that at home at the Fresno State Soccer Stadium versus Forward Madison FC. So make sure you guys check out this Central Valley Fuego game, as this will be another probably sellout game that they will be having at the Fresno State Soccer Stadium. And this is going to be a great, great matchup. So make sure you guys tune into the Blaze Podcast for more on your Central Valley Fuego. Now let's talk about our other soccer club here in the Valley, and they're called Valley FC. And they will be having their spring schedule starting this weekend against East County Rays, and this is going to be a great, great season for Valley FC, as they had a great 2023 season. They're looking to continue their dominance. They will be having their first game away this weekend against, like I said, East County Rays on March 24th, and then Valley FC will be back at home, and they will be playing their home games at Keatice Park right there across the street from Clovis West High School. And they will be having their first game against Inter FC, SF on April 6th. So make sure you guys tune in to the Blaze Podcast for more on your Valley FC football club. Now let's talk about our Fresno Grizzlies. And our Grizzlies will be starting their 2024 season on April 5th, and they will be going against the San Jose Giants, and they will be going away for a three-game series. The first three games, that will be April 3rd through April 7th. I just want to get you guys ready for Fresno Grizzlies baseball, as this is going to be another great season. Hopefully, we have another great season, as last year we kind of lost it towards the end, but we could probably get back to where we were last year, and hopefully we could get into the playoffs this year. So make sure you guys tune in to the Blaze Podcast for more on your Fresno Grizzlies. Now let's talk about the NCAA March Madness, as the tournament starts today, March 21st through March 22nd. We will be having the first round. The second round will start March 23rd through March 24th. Sweet 16, March 28th through March 29th. We got the Elite 8, March 30th through March 31st. Then the Final Four will be Saturday, April 6th. And then the NCAA Championship game will be Monday, April 8th. There's a lot of games this week, as we have the first day of the tournament today, and then they'll have their second games on Friday. Then there'll be the round of 32 on Saturday, March 23rd. But there is a lot of great teams this year in the NCAA tournament. But for sure this year, I got UConn going to the to the Final Four. I got North Carolina going to the Final Four. I have Houston maybe going all the way to the Final Four. And then I have Purdue going to the Final Four. I usually go with the top team in each division. That way, once it gets to the national championship, you know, we probably see a number one team. But this year, it definitely could go any way, as a lot of these teams could have a big upset. As always in NCAA history, there are tons of upsets. I just can't wait to see exactly what teams will be winning, as, you know, the first round is always a toss-up. You can just flip a coin and definitely it falls either way. But I think for sure some of the top teams this year, like UConn, North Carolina, Houston, and Purdue, have a big chance of winning the tournament. But make sure you guys tune in to the Blaze Podcast for more, as we will get into the tournament as, you know, the tournament turns into Elite Eight. It's definitely hard to talk about 32 teams in a hour podcast, but definitely tune in as March Madness is here on the Blaze Podcast. Now let's talk about the MLB, as we had opening day of baseball this past week, and we had the Dodgers versus the Padres to start things off in Seal for the Seal Series. The Dodgers beat the Padres 5-2 in the opening game. And then the Padres today ended up beating the Dodgers 15-11. So this is a great time of the year, as opening day, you know, for the MLB will be coming next week, Thursday, March 28th. So make sure you guys are ready for the MLB season, as the Dodgers are looking to be one of the best teams in the MLB this year. And it shows, as they won their first game and they're looking to score each and every game. So make sure you guys tune into the Blaze Podcast, as we will be talking about all of our California teams next week and every week throughout the MLB season. So make sure you stay tuned to the Blaze Podcast. Now let's talk about the NFL. And right now we are right in the middle of free agency, and some of the biggest moves of free agency so far. We'll talk about the Falcons right now, as we just signed Kirk Cousins to a 4-year contract. And this is going to put him basically playing until he's into his 40s, I would have to say. But it's definitely an enormous upgrade for my team, the Atlanta Falcons, as it's been too long since they made the playoffs. So now finally we have a quarterback that we can call our own, but also having some problems winning playoff games himself. But one thing for sure is the Falcons do have a great offense with Bijan Robinson, Drake London, Kyle Pitts, and they ended up adding wide receiver Darnell Mooney. Now we are top level offense. We have new head coach Raheem Morris in his second go around at the job, and we're gonna really avoid some of the pressures of last season. The one thing for sure is in the NFC South, we still got to look at the Buccaneers, as they retain a lot of their players. We also got to look at the New Orleans Saints, who also had got some great pieces on their defensive line. But the other team I would like to talk about is the Steelers. The Steelers right now are looking great, as, you know, they did make the playoffs last season. But I still felt like last year's season was kind of a down-and-out season for the Steelers. But they really made an aggressive mark to really keep them in the running in that AFC North position. They ended up signing Russell Wilson and then dumping off Kenny Pickett and trading for Justin Fields. So it's kind of crazy to think that they got two starting quarterbacks on their roster with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. But to me, I think Wilson will be the one that will take the reins for the Steelers. And I think it's going to be a great quality quarterback to help out the Steelers offense and also get George Pickens the ball. So I'm really anxious to see how well, you know, the Steelers will do, and especially now that they got Arthur Smith as their offensive coordinator, who really, as a Falcons fan and having Arthur Smith the last couple years, you know, he is a run-centric coach, and he loves to take the pressure off of his quarterback. So this is going to be a good thing for Russell Wilson and also the future for Justin Fields, as, you know, those are two amazing quarterbacks that the Steelers were able to sign. But another big pickup for free agency has been with the Philadelphia Eagles, as they have now signed their star running back, Saquon Barkley, who should make a huge, huge impact for the Eagles, as Barkley is one of the best running backs probably in the NFL right now. And this is going to complement Jalen Hurts so well, and the line that they possess on the Eagles. It's going to be great to see how well this team does next year. But free agency is not done. We got a lot more to talk about. So make sure you guys tune into the Blaze Podcast for more on your NFL free agency. Now let's talk about the NBA, and we'll talk about the power rankings this week as we talk about the five top teams in the NBA. And we'll start off with our number five team, the Milwaukee Bucks, who have a record of 44-24. And with Chris Middleton back in the lineup, this puts the Bucks in a great position now that they are in the second part of the NBA season. They had a tough West Coast trip during the week as they went 1-3. But the Bucks have 14 games remaining in the regular season, with a pair of matchups this week on the road against top NBA teams like the Celtics, and also a West giant right now in the Thunder. But Milwaukee getting Chris Middleton and really putting together the team that they now should be looking at the playoffs. But the one thing I think that they've been having trouble with is the defense side. It's just been a roller coaster for Milwaukee ever since, you know, getting Lillard, really trying to put together this team, getting Doc Rivers right in the middle of the season, and now being at the second part of the season on the way out into the playoffs. It's really tough to really see what kind of identity Milwaukee Bucks have, but they have some big games this week. Like I said, they had one against Boston, Brooklyn Nets, OKC, and then they'll be playing the Lakers. So this is going to be a big week for the Milwaukee Bucks. But then at number four, we have the Minnesota Timberwolves, who have a record of 47-22. And they have some big games this week, one against Cleveland and one against Golden State. But what has been amazing for the Minnesota Timberwolves have been Anthony Edwards, who has been a highlight reel night in and night out. You know, he hit his head on the backboard after blocking a shot. And what I thought was going to be a season injury, but he ended up getting up from that and continuing to play at his top notch. And for me, it's Anthony Edwards who's going to be probably the future of the NBA, and especially with all the different kinds of things he's able to do, especially after, you know, posterizing John Collins earlier this week after, I have to say, one of the best dunks I've ever seen Edwards do. But he is one of those players that will put it on the floor, jam it in your face, but also really crafty with his moves and able to really drop some big numbers at scoring. So I'm going to have to say, you know, the Wolves right now have some important matchups this week, like I said, against Cleveland and Golden State, which could put them in a better trajectory in the Western Conference standings. So we have Minnesota Timberwolves at number four this week. But at number three, we have a Western Conference juggernaut right now, Oklahoma City Thunder at 47-30. And they have games against Utah, Toronto, Milwaukee, and the Pelicans. And this was a big week for the Oklahoma City Thunder, as Gordon Hayward, who was sidelined for weeks due to a calf injury, is now making his Thunder debut and is actually finding some rhythm as Oklahoma City, you know, has him as a reserve backup. But he is 12 of 19 from the floor, including 5 of 8 from the three-point range, along with 17 assists in the past six games. So that's a great, great thing for the OKC Thunder, as, you know, they're improving in the Western Conference. And now having Hayward into the lineup really puts them in a trajectory that I don't see them coming away from, as now they look more complete than ever. And then at number two right now, in the NBA, we got the Denver Nuggets, who have a record of 48-21, and they had games against New York, Portland, and Memphis this week. But the Nuggets didn't have much time really this week to really get the week started off right, especially after Kyrie was just giving it to the Nuggets. But Tuesday night showdown against Minnesota, Denver finished a four-game road swing with another win and really capping off a week against one of the top Western Conference teams, as the Wolves really have been shorthanded with injuries, but still being able to put together wins. But Denver has now won 12 of their last 14 games since the All-Star break, which its only losses coming in overtime against Phoenix as a buzzer beater, and then against Dallas as Kyrie was just a magician. But the Nuggets are going to return to their old form, as they have been winning these must-win games. So we got Denver Nuggets at number two in the power rankings this week. And at number one, the Boston Celtics continue to dominate the NBA. They had games against Milwaukee Bucks, Detroit Pistons, Chicago Bulls, and the Atlanta Hawks. But to me, it's just been the Celtics. I don't got to say much more. They've been defensively really good. But to me, it's really how well is that shooting going to continue to be? I know they're shooting at a high percentage right now. I think it's like 43%, and taking a lot of threes. I think they're really putting it together defensively and offensively, cohesively doing it. So the Boston Celtics really have that number one edge with that 54-14 record, and they have some big games against some Eastern Conference teams this week. So they continue to roll, and the NBA seasons continue to roll. So make sure you guys tune into the Blaze Podcast every week for more on the NBA. But I want to thank you for pushing play each and every week. Your support goes a long way for this independent podcast. I just want to remind you guys to share this podcast with someone new, maybe a family member, maybe someone that hasn't heard of the Blaze Podcast. Make sure you guys are supporting all your local businesses. Make sure you support all your local artists, and make sure you support all your local podcasts. I'm Alejandro Oveda, signing off episode 265.